This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey guys, welcome to the Working Class Bow Hunter podcast. Glad to have you here. This one was a cool episode, diving in back into some sense of being normal. We went to the Iowa Deer Classic a couple weeks ago in Des Moines, Iowa. I absolutely love that show. The people who run the show are great. Everyone that came out to see us was great. It was awesome. We can't believe the amount of people that came by and said hi, and all you guys that support us. It really means a ton. So thank you. Shout out to you. Really, we appreciate it more than you know, even if we're hungover at the show and don't seem like we do as much when we're there. But no, really, it blew our mind. We were just thrilled as ever with the show, especially not knowing what was going to happen, you know, with just all the bullshit, if it was going to be busy, not busy, good turnout or whatever. But no, I mean, we sold out of Iowa hats. We sold almost all of our Iowa shirts for that show. So thank you. It was awesome. Coming up, if you're listening to this episode in real time, in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin, at the Kalahari Resort, we will be at the Open Season Outdoor Expo. We are booth 802. We're right next to Prairie Storm Outfitting, our boys from Kansas. So we're going to be there having a good time. We have the custom special for this show Wisconsin shirt, where we kind of take the graphic from the Wisconsin's license plate and put our own working class twist on it. We took out the birds in it. We put the can't trip into a 150 buck from the trip into a 150 shirt in there in the graphic, and it turned out great. So that was designed, and we collabed with Combination Creative on that. Jordan over there is awesome. So if you guys need any shirt work done, logo work, anything like that, websites, Jordan at Combination Creative is your guy. But anyway, hopefully we see you at Wisconsin. If you're up in that area, want to come hang out, you know, grab a beer, let's hang out. It'll be a good time. And that will be the last show for us for the year, and then we're looking for turkeys and deer. So what other announcements? We did pick a winner to the Veteran Hunt Giveaway in Kansas, provided by Dirt Nap Outdoors, LLC. They basically reached out, said, hey, we want to give away a hunt to a veteran. And so we talked about that in the past and promoted it on social, and a bunch of people applied. So thank you, everyone, for your service. We appreciate the hell out of you, and one of you guys won. So we'll announce it soon once we get it all taken care of. The winner doesn't even know yet, which is fun. So we're going to call him probably when I get done recording these intros. So that's pretty cool. Also, speaking of veterans, and appreciating all that you do, our veteran shout out segment is always brought to you by Operation HHA USA. If you want to know more about this or submit someone for a veteran shout out, workingclassbowhunter.com/veteran shout out. Operation HHA USA, sorry, is helping us with this, and in turn we're helping raise awareness to their organization, and we're going to try and get up to some of their shoots, but basically helping servicemen and women get back into the outdoors. HHAUSA.org. Their shoot schedule, I believe the first one, I think this is 2021, Man, May 15th and 16th in Tomahawk Sportsman's Alliance, Warrens, Wisconsin. And June 20th, we'll probably try and hit one of the late June, July ones. They have one the same day as our shoot. So if you can't make our bow shoot on June 12th, they have one in Rib Mountain Bowman, Wausau, Wisconsin. That's the other one. So check them out there. Getting on to this little bit here. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports. Of course, the code for them, save some money, WCB15. Get yourself into a single pin sight, a new stabilizer setup, which we will be giving away a Tetra and a full stabilizer package to someone at the Wisconsin show if you come see us. And we'll figure out how to get you some entries in there. You can enter multiple times too, which is cool. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. $600 value. But if you're not lucky and win one through us in HHA, HHA.com, HHASports.com, code WCB15. Podcast also brought to you by Scent Crusher. Scent Crusher's been a great partner of ours for a long time and help us on more things than just hunting, especially, you know, right now people are thinking about turkey season and all that and just household projects and shit like that. But Scent Crusher, like from the room clean, we keep it in our guest bathroom here that's in the main floor of the house where everyone's going to be hanging out. So you can just run that room clean up to 120 minutes and it's just crushing the scent in that area. It works great for that type of stuff. Works great for our studio when we're all in here drinking beer and we get out. I have to run a couple cycles. It works wonders. A guy that I work with, he is a firefighter. And he reached out to me the other day and was like, hey, man, I want to get some sort of duffel bag. Would Scent Crusher work for, like, my equipment? And I was like, yeah, point him over to it. And he got himself a bag. And he said it's been working great for, like, getting the smoke out of his clothes and stuff like that. So, and his gear. So that's pretty cool. Multiple uses besides hunting, you know. Think outside the box with something like that. It's very versatile. I love it, man. From the gear bag to the closets, all that. I mean, nasty laundry and you name it inside that closet and ran cycles just to get rid of that scent. Also, Big Time, code WCB2021 at everythingbigtime.com. We are going to be running some food plot seed, spring food plot seed this year, some working man plots. I think I'm going to do clover and then maybe switch to, I can't get away from Buck Brunch. I like it. But they got the new borderline blend where it's like, a big like wall of seclusion so you can make entry and exit routes to your food plots. So you can plant that along the edges. So check them out, bigtime.com, WCB2021. Also, the podcast brought to you by Rogue Ridge and The Grind. Rogue Ridge is the e-bikes that we've been playing around with, and they're absolutely insane. They're a blast just to ride around on gravel roads, but I've taken mine out shed hunting once. I recommend if you guys get an e-bike, take it into a bike shop and I, you know, have the BMX background. I take mine in, I'm having them run through it all, just make sure everything's good for the year. Cause I plan on doing some deep shed hunts and hanging hunts and all that stuff, coming into the season. So I want to be sound and as good as I possibly can, but it doesn't hurt, you know, tune up that derailleur. So it's shifting gears how you want and really just have it running as good as you can. But these e-bikes are going to be a ton of fun. I'm just hoping I don't fall and slam at 20 mile an hour into a tree and break both my collarbones during postseason. But the Grind turkey decoys and calls, diaphragm calls and decoys will be out there chasing them in Turkey Palooza. I think I have second season and fifth season tags for Illinois. And I know a lot of the other guys too. I think Doug even put in for an Illinois, turkey tag as well. So that's pretty cool. Also Gator Outdoors, outfitting the working class. If you came and seen us at Iowa, you saw them guys right next to us. I think they did a drawing for a grizzly cooler, a bunch of turkey decoys. They sold a bunch of shirts. Really the new up and coming lifestyle brand. So check GatorOutdoors.com, code WCB25 for everything on their store as well. The podcast is also brought to you by Victory Archery, Thermoseat, Loophole, and Slick Trick Broadhead. So sorry, I wanted to get through those guys for you. I appreciate you listening to our ads and partners because they help us continue doing what we're able to do and come out with new merch and just, they help us. So you helping us helps them and they help us. It's one big happy circle of good people in the industry. So appreciate your support. I'm going to quit japping my jaws here and let you get into this on the fly last-minute podcast at the Iowa Deer Classic with a couple of the Whitetail Adrenaline guys. It was a riot. We talk a lot about pissing yourself while waiting on a deer, which is always pretty funny. So enjoy it. Thank you for being here. We're Iowa Classic recording, first episode of the show. I'm actually surprised the show even happened.
Yep.
I mean, just Iowa's got it together, though. But we're here.
Whitetail Adrenaline Boys back.
No. I mean, you guys got smaller deer, but better politics.
True.
That's what they say.
I don't know about that, but.
Whitetail Adrenaline, what's up, fellas?
How you doing?
Good.
I'm doing good.
This is your first
intro? Yeah, my ever first.
Tanner's first ever.
As my second. We just did one before this.
That's not a podcast.
This is your second podcast.
Seminar.
Yeah, my first ever podcast. But
I'm not sure if that's an upgrade or a downgrade. But.
This is for sure a downgrade.
Cheers. Is this your first one?
Yeah. Something
He's
like
done
that.
A few. I don't have the
experience. First one at a show, I think, ever.
It is, really.
Yeah.
So the last one we did was at the Airbnb in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
People
so
loved
I heard.
That podcast.
So I heard.
People liked it.
Yep. It was good.
Uh-huh. I mean, we got tore up, the right amount of tore up, and had some fun.
Right.
But
you guys did.
Well, you didn't have fun, or you didn't get tore up?
I had a ball, from what
I
remember.
Both.
Oh, yeah. It was fun, man. You had your party hat on, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a problem. So how do you guys feel about the show this year as far, like, with the COVID stuff? Busy?
Good. It's kind of nice. We don't have to wear the mask.
Yeah. Yep. It seems on track, I think, right?
Yeah. Get to shake hands again and talk to people. It's real refreshing, actually.
Right.
So let's cut into it. So you're kind of like the new kid on the block.
Absolutely. Yeah. I actually met Jared at the show 2 years ago. He's like, I love your energy, dude, you know?
I didn't say that at the show.
Yeah, you did.
Actually, it's funny because Tanner supposed to have met me a time or two before that.
Let me tell you them ones.
Okay, we shouldn't get too deep with that.
I wouldn't want to get too deep, but this is pretty good. I was messaging Chansey.
Let's get a nitty-gritty here.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about it.
I was messaging Chansey, telling him, like, hey, man, I'm coming out shooting these bucks on public. I'm sending him pictures. Chansey's like, dude, that's awesome, because Chansey's an awesome dude.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
At least he gave me the time of day. So I go up to Jared at my Harrisburg show, PA, you know, where I'm from. And I go up to him. I said, hey, I'm the one that kills all that big bucks. And he goes, oh, you're that guy. You know, instantly like that. And I'll never forget that moment. He don't even remember me. And so I was like blindsided, like Chansey didn't tell this kid. You know what I mean? Like,
that was a good Chansey impression, too. You know that guy.
So Jared cool guy'd you.
Yeah, I guess. And then I went with John Adams on a turkey hunt, and then one summer.
I lined that up.
Mm-hmm.
I literally did it. All right, you want to hear the funny story? Is the first time I actually remember meeting you.
Was at
this show, and it was a Sunday, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, it was a Sunday after a Saturday, and you understand what my Sundays early in the day can be like.
Yeah,
sometimes.
We live that life.
So Tanner's sitting here, and he's telling me about all these deer and sheds he's finding. I'm like, mm-hmm. Yep.
Move on.
And he's like, all of a sudden he looks at me and he goes, but you're probably about sick of hearing deer stories, huh? And I was like, well, I like to deer hunt. And he's like, nah, I could tell. Da, 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 da. But he was just so, like, high energy.
Yeah.
Right.
And I remember I left this show and I was like, and I remember I told you, I was like, I saw something in that time.
Right.
And I was like, oh, you need to line up with John. And I knew I could get a little bit of a feel more on this Tanner guy.
He's a pretty,
you know, right. And so, you know, and plus I thought you guys would have fun. You both loved turkey hunting and doing all that. And I remember I was driving back to Wisconsin. I was like, man, I couldn't hardly handle that at that time, but I really liked that energy.
Right.
You know, I used to have energy like
that. I may not have it right now, so don't judge me.
Right.
He hasn't worked the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know this game. I've never did this before. You know?
Yeah, so like that's
in the jungle
2 years ago? This happened 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago here.
And so, then, right into the wolves, though. But how did it end up? Like, you made that connection, and then it's just like,
that connection, then he called me, and then we started talking about tags a little bit, and then all of a sudden we did a little hunt.
Yeah, we were going to do a little bit of hunting that fall, and you had a lot of tags, and you had a great fall.
Yeah.
And then we finally did one. It got to be late December,
late
and the dots connected.
5 days.
Yep. The dots connected, and we had a ball,
which,
and so you...
Which opened my eyes, though, to actually how hard, you know, these boys... I did it myself. I did, you know, a little bit of door knocking.
Right,
a little bit of shit like that. So it was a little bit easier. And then I get to that that level, and I mean, I was kind of impressed on how hard they do. How many, they run like a pack of wolves. Like,
oh,
it,
yeah.
It's,
how many right. days your first, like, season in?
It was five, and then this year I went 120 days.
Straight.
Straight, without going home, but I hunted probably 100 of those days.
No
kidding. Killed 8 animals.
Oh, so at least. You were to my place a day or two before September, right. And then it was like 2 days before Christmas before you finally went home.
No kidding.
No shame. Yeah. 2 days. Wow. I just made Christmas.
And you were debating about...
I wanted to stay.
Too.
So, I wanted to stay.
But I was like, dude, you got to get out of here.
You must not be married then, right?
No, I'm definitely not.
That's what I was going to ask.
Nothing's tied me down yet, and I don't plan it too.
He's got a good woman, but we ain't found her yet. Just like me.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
out here at the Iowa Classic somewhere, man.
Yeah, maybe. Like maybe get, she is. I love that mystery. It's just like that public land. You don't know what the hell's there, right?
It's where dreams are made.
That's you right. don't know what's don't down know the next aisle there. Over to yeah. a peekaboo.
Hey, that could be your new wife down there.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Bless her heart.
Sounds like a Doug's life down here.
No, that's
where's
a
how you're living it.
That's
a duck guy Doug. You get a duck guy
but
in the
But it's same as public hunting in life. I mean, in the way I live life.
Yeah.
Other people choose
Hey, high-pressured women, high-pressured land, right. you know.
It's the same concept. It's your life is the way we hunt.
I'd beg to differ on that. I'm
Jared, what was
fairly aggressive on deer, and that does not apply to females.
You had like... Last night we were playing pool at the bar. Well, we were at one bar on a Thursday night, and they're, like, jamming, like, the worst country music in our ears. And you right. have, like, a pretty good method that compares to, like, whitetail tactics.
This was last night?
Yeah, maybe, like, if it's not there, you move on.
Yeah.
And, like, your strategy was spot on. I'm
what
like,
I
man.
Said. I just said it. Like, yeah. that's life.
You can't get locked down to those big rubs and scrapes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Now you're good.
You got to keep moving on.
Maybe Friday night, maybe Saturday night.
You come back and check. Yeah,
check the scrape lines.
Well, I want to ask you this:
kill a big deer if it's not in there.
You're obviously an experienced hunter,
I'm
right?
a here now kind of guy.
Yes, I've hunted a lot,
but
not so much. Hell, I left a hammer back.
Right,
you know okay. what I mean?
Well, so
easy now. We didn't have to bring that up, Hammer Tanner.
So you're in there the 100.
Trying to be honest,
110 days or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
What's probably like two things you picked up from spending that much time with Jared or the whole crew?
I didn't
crew
get
in
to really spend time with him, but
in general,
you're talking about like a grind. I mean that. That is something that I've never known hunting to be a job. You know what I mean? And not that it is, but it is.
It gets
I mean,
to be a grind to where it's
when you
different.
Take it to that level with somebody trying to make this come together, it's not as easy as you by yourself. You know,
you're right.
out there running wicked, dude.
I think there's a little bit more pressure when there's a camera there to feel like, and
right.
especially like you're like, I want to fill this tag and get this.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit more of a pressure than when you're by yourself.
And, you know,
but it's a funner, more enjoyable hunt. It's like a weird.
Dude,
it makes it sweeter,
when I
probably.
Killed animals this year, they might have been half the size, but I was more pumped up than I ever was in my life.
There's
because
a more,
of the adversity of the, with him and with the cameraman involved, you know, it made it that much more to me.
That's actually an interesting point. So, Tanner. You guys probably know, but he killed a 217-inch mule deer.
Gross.
Okay. The next, and he shot it with open sight muzzleloader. The next deer he kills is like, what, 100-inch whitetail with a gun?
I think you're
with
right.
a gun.
No,
and he was jacked up about it, and that's what's great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
he's
what
just
it's
like,
about.
He's like, whatever,
scared.
Cool.
Yeah. It don't mean anything to me. It's the hunt.
Yeah.
Right. For sure.
All the other elements.
You know.
That's freaking cool, man.
Yeah.
So from as long as it feels right to you in the moment, that's what you want to do. That's what
I'm
it's
actually
about.
Jealous of that spirit. That
well, that's
you know
how
that,
you feel tax.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's
we
how
talked
you feel
about
tax.
That.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure. Do you feel that way at all, Jared? From killing that, we tried to talk about
not,
this. On
not from
budget.
Killing that, but there's been,
yeah.
you know, a few deer over the last couple of years
regret
that I got hung
go.
Up on and
regret leaving go.
Yeah.
For sure.
Right. But I feel like with your guys' platform, you can. You guys make great content after the chase, even if you're not filling a tag, and people still watch it.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the big difference is a lot of guys depend on kills to make an episode or to make a show or to make a DVD, and then it's kind of just like empty content the whole time.
Right.
But your guys' show, like you play it, if your wife's in the room, she's kind of like low-key into it, even if she's not admitting
she's
it.
She's still into it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Why? Because of the adrenaline. I mean, not necessarily, it's his name, Whitetail Adrenaline, but it is the adrenaline. Like when you see a deer from a vehicle at a mile and a half out, your heart's already pumping.
Right.
But when you're in a tree, like if you're hunting from a tree stand and you're on your way to your stand, your heart ain't pumping like that.
Because your options are limited.
Damn right they are.
You don't even know
what's cool.
Yeah,
you're visualizing, is this deer going to walk into my 40, 50, 60 yard
2 miles
area,
out, I'm shaking.
And it's like at a mile and a half, it's like, how am I going to get
right,
in
yeah.
that?
me zone. Personally, I'm already shaking at that point because I know yeah. I can get there. There's a way. You know what
right.
I mean?
The closest experience we have probably to that is like public land antelope hunting. We go to South Dakota, try to every year, every other year. And that's like the feeling we get. We've never done that for whitetails. We're tree stand guys. Like we're not public land guys. We're private land guys. We're more methodical right. and like try to calculate to get ahead of them and make your sit the highest odds you can.
Right.
Well, I know that a little bit from chasing an antelope. You see an antelope, you're like, dude, we can. You're like figuring out little creases in the ground and
right.
trying.
Absolutely.
You can slip through that low ditch.
What does it do? It rises the adrenaline. Oh, absolutely.
And it tests you a lot, like with your hunting skills, and it like fine tunes you a lot for. Even entry and exit to a tree stand,
oh, yeah.
you think
oh,
about
yeah.
things a little
oh.
different. Like,
and that's even sure. with out hunting mule deers. You know, we've seen a mule deer a mile away, and you're like, how do we get to that mule deer without spooking him? And, like, the
right.
closer and closer you get, your heart's just
yeah.
right, right, going right. faster and faster the closer you get
and,
to
and,
it.
And on
it's
that
crazy.
Topic a little bit, like, once you do it a couple times and realize how effective it can be.
Right.
You're actually, the longer you go, the more excited you are. Because
right,
then, when you're at the beginning stages, you're like, okay, maybe.
Right. How's this going to work?
But then once you successfully do it, and then all of a sudden you go again, you're already pumped.
Yeah, you know it's possible.
You're full in.
Well, yeah,
because
the
yeah.
first mule deer stalk I went on, it was a mile out, and then all of a sudden we're within 20 yards of this deer.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's, yeah, it's me and Eric were there, it was like, because we're used to, you know, going to the stand, but when you see him out there like 2 miles away first time, and the guy's just like, we're gonna kill him. I was like, we are, like, we're doing this. He's like, oh, it's done deal.
Yeah, we're
you
killing
know,
him.
Like, that's right. when you say, you already start shaking, like,
you
oh,
already
right.
know. I mean, you yeah. can kind of
yeah.
know
yeah.
sometimes.
That's part of the fun, though, is making the game
failures.
Plan.
Oh yeah,
right.
yeah.
you
oh,
know
yeah.
what I mean, like like coming up with a game plan on something that feels impossible. Because like bow hunting, right. you see an animal that far, you're like, how do you get from here to put an arrow in an animal that's way the hell over
that
there.
You're looking,
you know,
the like, only way you can see is through a spotting scope. Like,
right,
how do you
right.
do that?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's part of the excitement in your guys' show because you guys are showing the game plan before the stalk and then show. So it kind of gets you more invested before you're even on the hunt part of the film, which is
absolutely.
Cool. So
yeah.
it's a buildup, is what it is. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there's so many when you're spotting and stalking deer. There's so many variables, and you got this time factor. Like, how much time do we got? You're not. You know, it's kind of in the back of your head, like,
yeah.
oh, he, you know, maybe I got 2 hours, and I got to do this, I got to make this happen, I got to get in this ditch, I got to do
yeah.
this.
Pressure on you.
And
yeah.
it's fun, but yeah, you know that you got limited time, and so often I've found with chasing them on the ground, you run out of time, you wish that you wouldn't have hee-hawed around and,
right. timing.
And done
timing.
All that.
Yeah. Everything.
Is there any, for both of you guys, is there any, like blown stocks or blown opportunities or something you did that haunts you like all the time? Like,
yeah,
what,
yeah.
one you
damn
think about
every day?
Every day.
yeah.
Like,
I mean,
you have one specific
many,
one that you
no,
think back on?
Many, many.
Many?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just didn't know if there was one.
Yeah,
deer
what's
that
the one
ate,
that
yep.
sticks out to you?
I don't have one because there
you
is
don't have
a lot.
One.
No,
there's a lot,
you
yeah.
got to have one. Huh. I mean, windmills.
I shot a windmill with a muzzle loader one time.
And then dropped the wrong buck. Same story.
Oh, absolutely. Same
you should
deer.
Tell that.
Okay, I'll do it.
Let's hear some, we got to hear some stories from you. You're, this
right.
is your first
I
time.
I was out by myself. I had to go. I went to a state. Didn't
this
have
is,
much
this
public
is the
land.
Year before last fall.
Yes. Okay. I went to a state without
era.
Much public
It'll
land.
Matter.
I started finding deer, but it was all private. So I went to the farmers. I door
for
knocked.
The most part.
Yeah. For the most part. There was some right. public there, but very minimal, and they weren't using it. But I finally find him. I find the buck I want. He beds down one day. I'm crawling in on him. It's wide open, just belly crawling, which you will see in the next video. It's the same kind of concept.
Yeah.
So I'm crawling stuff that, you know, as he said one time, like a football field. I mean, literally, that's what it's like.
AstroTurf, you're
crawling
out there.
On my belly. I mean, I've rubbed holes through everything I've owned before, crawling after one deer, one stock, because it was for a mile. You
yeah.
know, a mile probably. But anyways, I crawled in, and he beds down. I get crawled in on him. I actually had to leave the truck in the open and crawled out the passenger seat. Believe it or not, this is at a mile and a half, dude.
No shit.
That's how
so you're not slamming doors.
I didn't want this deer to see me at a mile and a half.
Yeah.
Get
Turn
out of
that
my truck.
A little glistle off the door or mirror
what?
Or whatever. Yeah, right.
And yeah. I finally got him laid down. He was so nervous at 2 miles. So nervous just from the truck.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just trying to get him positioned, you know. I was doing, it's a mile square or whatever.
Yeah.
Doing, or 2 mile squares, doing loops. Finally get him laid down. I didn't want to get him back up, and it won't take much. Honest to God, if I messed around with the truck, the deer would have stood up and repositioned
yeah.
then. That's
yeah.
how That's how on point they was.
Yeah.
But I finally get in there, crawled in. I almost shot at him at like 150 yards with open sight, iron sight, muzzleloader. He gets up, almost shoot at him. He rebeds by a windmill, and I know the windmill is a landmark, so it's easier now.
Right, right.
Obviously, the wind and the whole deal. Get around on him, start crawling in. And he finally stands, but there's like a 175 with him. And this deer's in the 190s.
Oh, shit.
No, the one in the, by the windmill.
Yeah.
So the 170-some, he's 30 yards in front of me. I get too close. No swirl or nothing. I think that one maybe quite heard me crawling in the right. tall, like, stubble weed.
Well, that's
weed.
Pretty close, you know.
Stubble weed, yeah.
Did you know yards. This other deer was in there?
Oh, yeah. I knew okay. they all were there, but I knew the 190 was by the windmill.
Right.
But I should have. I mean, everybody would have sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But the 170-some stands up 30 yards away, and I easily could have took him, and then that made the 190 nervous, obviously. He stands up. I pull up. I'm just guessing his score. I don't know. But I shoot. He stands. No shit, right through the windmill leg. I shoot that one half or what, one and a half
it's like
inch
a,
angle.
It's
square.
A one by one angle that
yes.
holds that thing
and
up.
And it ran. I didn't even think about it. And you know, when you're young, the BB gun, hell, you shoot through brush and
yeah,
you know, bushes for birds. You know,
yeah, yeah.
I just instinctively shot, and no shit, I hit the 1.5 inch piece of angle. Bullet went. The thing runs. So I was like, I'm a mile and a half from my truck. To finish the story,
yeah,
real quick, I'll try to burn through it quick. But I damn near jogged to the truck because I know they're on the move. Now I know I missed them. So I get to the truck, finally, after walking and jogging. I get there. I said they're about probably 2 miles down.
Yeah.
So I just started heading, would have been north. Started just cruising north as fast as I could
just
in the
running.
Truck. In the truck.
Yeah. Oh, in the truck.
Yeah, it's flat land. So
yeah,
I can
yeah.
kind of get down there. And I see him at probably 2 miles out coming. Down a drainage system. I mean, it's very minor. It's just
right, right.
There's no real tree structure, but
I got you.
I
yeah.
see him heading down. And I'm like, they're gonna take that son of a bitch the whole
they're
way
in that
down.
Low spot.
I stop the truck. I get out. I run about I don't know half a mile. Mm-hmm. I get in position. They're coming. They're still coming. But they're slowed down by now.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
This is 25 minutes after, and they come up. They're breaking up over the side of the. They were coming down the pipe and then they left it.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew they did. It was like 120 yards with an open sight Omega
yeah.
20 or whatever the hell it was. 20-year-old
Black bullet. Diamond.
Black Diamond. So they come up and that's the big one, the 190, stops with the 170 that was 30 yards 25 minutes ago. I guess my mind didn't even click, but his ass was underneath the throat patch of the 190.
Oh, shit.
No shit, the way they both were together. Oh, they were oh. brothers, early season bachelor.
Right.
You know,
yep, yep.
the big dogs in the area, they were together. And I held at the white throat patch of the 190. Poof! White, you know, cloud. They drop, or one drops. I see the 190 running. Like, holy shit!
So he shot the
yeah,
other
I
one.
I shot the 170. Right in the ass. But that was my first mule deer excursion.
No
that was
shit.
Pretty cool. I was still pumped. I mean, he had
yeah, yeah.
170,
like 170 right.
Hard to complain.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you hit the leg of that windmill and it fell and killed the 190.
No, it wasn't that damn good of a
the
story.
The windmill
that's,
fell on the deer?
Son of a bitch.
That's
I'm not even mad about it. I don't know. I got to explain
you,
to dude
do you have
the farmer.
To put a tag on it then?
Yeah.
Hey, death by windmill.
Yeah, right. But that's a story for
you.
Just
shoot
him
with extra steps. That's a good story, man. So what happened with the first shot? You just...
He stood up behind the windmill, and I didn't know it was
oh,
open sight.
I see. Yeah, okay, I'm following.
It's not a scope, so yeah. even at 55 yards,
it's tough.
In fiber optic,
right?
I mean, it covers a whole deer at 60.
Yeah,
damn
definitely.
Near. You know, so you got to have your ducks in a row when you're.
That's
shooting.
Like catching that twig with a bow. You know that you don't
yeah.
see.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, if you go to like the iron sights that don't have fiber optic on them, a lot of your encounters are low light.
What? So
maybe not out of camber light, but it's hard to see those pins. I like. Fiber
yeah.
optics in most situations.
Why the iron sights? Can you not?
You can't use a scope.
Okay. Okay.
Or obviously I would. I
yeah,
mean,
right.
I'm not.
I didn't know if that was kind of like
yeah.
your thing.
No,
you know
no,
what
no,
I mean?
No.
But I know
no.
I hear that a lot with muzzle. Why is that with muzzleloaders? Just because they can shoot further? Because I know in a lot of states they have.
I think that's just Colorado now.
That's
yeah.
a Dakota thing.
Oh, really?
Where was that at?
Isn't Idaho the
that's
same
Colorado.
Way?
Colorado.
Colorado the same
yeah.
way?
I guess it was. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
I don't know. I think Idaho is the same way, too. Like, they have the iron sight deal. Maybe, maybe I'm
Buckstorm,
wrong.
Buckstorm, that's the same way for them.
It is?
Yep. They
just
can only
kind
shoot
of like,
iron sights with muzzleloaders.
That's weird to me because they have rifles.
Right.
But I don't know. Whatever.
Right.
I don't know anything
about
that.
They obviously challenge you because of the time of the year. I'd just say the DNR's on point where, obviously, if we let these jokers run around with scopes, they're going to murder lives.
Right.
I
yeah.
don't know. You
for
know,
sure.
I don't know what their theory is on it. But they even make you use... You know, loose powder instead of pellets and
oh,
all
really?
Kinds of shit.
Oh,
yeah.
really?
No
so
kidding.
they try to make it a challenge, which I kind of respect, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I get that. You got one that bugs you real bad that you think about? Like a
Yeah, I got one. I call him Browie.
I feel like you're sour already bringing it up.
Yeah. Oh, he's been thinking about it the whole time.
No, I literally forgot about it, and you brought it back up.
Hey,
sorry,
man.
You did.
Sorry, man. Thanks. Bring up the past.
He's pissed again.
No, big Browie. He was a big nine the year before. Uh-huh. I seen him one time, and it was like the last day. And then the next year, I ended up finding him, and he primarily lived on a refuge. And he was on public, and the DNR had cut these tall weeds. There's like there'd be like 20 yards of tall weeds this tall.
Yeah.
And then there'd be like 20 yards wide where they cut it.
Gotcha.
All the way for half mile. And I'm pulling up the road, and all of a sudden I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
That's something out of somewhere like, else.
I didn't never expect him to leave that refuge and end up there, but he had a hot dough. So I pull up the road a mile or whatever, mile and a half, and do a big giant loop and come in, and we got beautiful footage of him at 300 yards. And I had that decoy. That's the first year we had the decoy without the hide.
Without the hide.
And he looked at it like, I don't know what the hell that is for a long time. We got great footage, but anyways, he ended up finally going in the weeds and bedding with his doe. Mm-hmm. And I crawl up there, and these weeds are so damn tall. And I'm getting up there, and I'm trying to find him, and I had to stand up to do it. And I'm, like, glassing with the binos in the weeds, and there he is. All of a sudden, I peg him at, like, 21 yards or whatever.
Oh, like
I'm not straight across, but I'm, like, angled. And Andy was filming that one. He was on the other side of the cut stuff, up against the weeds tight, where I was on the side where he was at.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know what went through my mind, but I was like, we got to get a shot of him laying in the weeds, which was dumb because you'd have never seen him on the camera anyway, in the footage anyways.
So blocked from the weeds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it would have been so easy. All I had to do was just, okay, there he is, drop down, make a little grunt, snort, wheeze thing, and he would have come charging out of them weeds wide open.
Yeah.
Longbow City in a split second.
Yeah.
Gone. Yeah. Done. You know, right there. It would have been like,
how big a buck?
And I crawl Andy up there, and I have him stand up, and I'm like, just film right in there. Just we need like 5-10 seconds.
Jesus.
And him or his doe caught the glistle off the camera. But yeah, he was a 5x5.
Oh, I thought he was a 9, but
no, the year before he was. He was a 5x5 clean 10.
I don't know. He was 13 inches, I thought.
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
13, 14 inch brown on the one side, 12.
Close to 190.
26, 27. Yeah, I figured he was upper 80s as a 5x.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. I sent one. He was just taking off, and I sent it, but.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you'll do that with traditional gear.
Right.
Way easier. Because it just becomes.
Yeah, you don't have time in that moment.
Right.
Like. Snap shooting like that, your brain can't stop you.
No, it's already gone before you even say no.
Well, yeah, opportunity's gone fast.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, why did I send that?
There's like perfect example of, you know, just the camera screwing shit up for you when you could have probably just killed him without it.
Right, and it was my decision. I mean,
yeah.
But looking back on it, it was like, we could have never, seen it in the weeds anyway. So what the hell was the point of doing that?
It just seemed like a great idea at the time. I mean, how big did you say, 180, 190?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, upper 180s, 5x5. Because he had the brows. I mean, his brows.
Right,
14 inches.
Yeah.
No kidding. So. Do you ever know what happened to that deer? Just gone?
No, I have no idea. Probably died on the refuge. Never came back.
That's a good point.
Probably just
he probably did.
Right.
That's kind of cool.
So sad.
Yeah, sorry to bring up like past memories here, but
no, I mean,
it's going to be a rough night.
Yeah.
Redeemed himself.
Hey, I'll buy you a beer. You'll be all right.
There you go.
He's crying on his beer all
Kurt
night.
Kurt will bring it up later again.
Tell me more about this bug. I've been working hard on this.
I'm going to switch to vodka, okay?
Vodka, water, limes?
Yeah. Too many calories in the Bush
Lights. The pineapple vodkas?
Yeah. I don't know. They're not doing a whole lot for me today, I'll tell you that.
The Bush Lights?
No.
It's because we're immune to them, probably. They just don't work anymore. No. Figure something else out.
Definitely. That's an acclimation. The next night's a lot harder.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I had to bring that stuff up. I know trade show podcasts get tough. You guys are busy. We're busy. I mean, this is a pretty rocking show.
Yeah.
So, but no, we had to get you guys in. I know show's over and stuff, but unless I want to dig into more stories, but I don't want to bring up anything bitter here. We're going to record again at Wisconsin.
Yeah, you got enough bitterness.
I'm sorry. I can feel the dark vibes coming from your direction.
No. To me, it's
always
fun.
You can't say you're sorry and smile, all right?
We let him
Jared has a tear come down, I think.
No. I mean, I never literally cried about it. Okay, I got to draw a line.
Okay, I got another question for you too. I was going to ask you this because there's a video where you're making a stock on a buck, and I might be wrong here. I can't remember. It was your big typical. You're making a stock and you piss yourself. Stock.
No, I ended up killing that deer because I pissed myself. That was the year after. Yeah.
How many times have you done that?
Never. That's never the before. No, never before. That's the commitment. Only time. So I hit this deer. It's on the video.
Yeah.
I hit this deer and he was kind of slightly quartering two, kind of head on, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
And I figured I'd see him pile up in 100 yards, which he didn't. He ran for over a half mile. We gave him a couple hours, snuck in there, and I got in there about 150 yards from where he had disappeared. I pegged him. He was bedded down. And to get in there, I had to – it was like a golf course.
Yeah,
green.
Yeah.
And I knew the only way was to slither straight in on him on my belly. And I slither in there.
Like a fucking snake.
And I'm in there at like 20 yards, but I can't get a shot. And it's getting colder, like real cold. And I'm in there for like 2-3 hours waiting for a situation that will give me a shot. And I got this deer hit. And I'm like, I got to piss. I got to piss. And I can't even turn on my side. Like he ended up repositioning. When I was sneaking in on him, he was in a situation where I could do that pretty well and get away with stuff.
Right.
But he got up and spun his body and rebedded, like literally looking right at me.
Shit.
He didn't see me
because
I froze at that point.
Yeah.
But he was, I mean, if I'd even moved on my side, he would have got me. And I was like, if I even roll on my side to try to piss.
He's going to catch you.
He's going to catch me, run. I don't know if I'm going to have any blood. I don't know how far he's going to go. He's still alive. This is hours after the shot.
Hell, at that point, if you move your nostrils, he's going
to
peg you.
I was fighting this, and finally I had to make a decision. It's like either I'm going to do this, bust him, or piss my pants and probably get this buck tomorrow. You know, he's probably going to lay here. And I was like, piss myself and get the big buck. That's an easy decision.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. And I did. And it was probably the longest piss of my life.
It seemed like it was like a 3-minute
piss. I'll never
piss.
Forget. Then right after I do that, he gets up and I ain't got a shot. And he just kind of like slow walks off. And I'm like, my vision was you just lay there all night. I crawl my ass out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then tomorrow morning I come back and you're done.
Yeah, yeah,
you know? Yeah. But he didn't do that. Shortly after I pissed, he got up and away I couldn't shoot. And kind of walked off almost like he'd never been hit. And I was like,
no, he knew you.
Well, that wasn't part of the plan.
He knew you had to take a piss, so
and
he just
Shay
waited
was,
there until
Shay
you pissed.
Was filming
he's like,
that.
All right, I'm out of here.
And I'll never forget. I'm halfway walking back to Shay, and Shay has no idea.
He didn't know you peed.
He had no idea.
You weren't talking
and
to him.
I was walking back laughing to myself. I can't wait to tell him. And he had the camera rolling, and I said something like,
I forget. But
I pissed myself or
something.
And he, what?
That's awesome. That's commitment, man.
Anyways, and I ended up killing him the next day, but
there
wasn't any blood after he left that. But I ended up, when he started walking, I found it like 150 yards away, and I was able to follow him another 500-600 yards. He was still alive, and I was able to put a follow-up shot on him.
Do you tie the pee pants to the success of that hunt, kind of?
I never thought about it like that, but I probably should.
Hey, the pee pants buck.
Did you wear your pee pants the next day?
You know, I'd have been embarrassed about pissing myself.
I think that's awesome.
But I couldn't wait to tell Shay about that.
And oh, yeah.
I knew he was rolling, and I was like, whatever. I've never, ever. Right. I would make the same decision in a heartbeat. I just washed him out.
That's commitment. Yeah.
Washing machine. What do they got washing machines for?
Yeah. Hey, just wash them. Just rinse them off in a creek. Or you just let
not
it dry
that
up.
Big a deal.
Not
that
big a deal.
Or
just
jump
thing.
In the creek with everything.
I think it's
instead, I got a 160.
Hey, there you go.
Absolutely.
I'd pee my pants for a 160.
You know? I'd have been so pissed
too.
If I
would
didn't. If I would have been so pissed if I didn't piss myself.
Right. Not nearly as cool of a story.
At least you didn't shoot a windmill, you know?
Oh, shit.
Well.
I've hit a lot of things in my life. Not only windmills, I've hit a lot of things.
Well, I appreciate you guys doing this quick during the show. It's rare to lock you guys down during a show.
Yeah, I don't think I ever have.
No, well, this is good. This is good. And your first one.
Yeah, absolutely.
First real one. And then I think Wisconsin, we can do another long haul.
Yep.
That's the plan. We got a big suite and all that. And
like maybe after hours kind
of
thing.
After hours again. Yeah. We'll start the drinking from the time
later
I press record.
Good
and
idea.
We'll let it go.
Yeah.
That's nice. A good idea. So
great
appreciate
idea.
You guys. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks guys.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
All right, you know what to do. Go shoot your bow. There it is.